Live across the globe from Command Central, you're listening to... Oh bugger, I've forgotten what it is.
Hello and welcome to a brand new enterprise. This is the Tweed Renegades. And every week we hope to bring you a paleo-conservative review of the week's events and some wry commentary on the ever-disintegrating Labour sideshow. This is Plato Sandylands in exile coming to you from Barbados, and on the line direct from the People's Democratic Republic of Australia, it's fearless Jill Singer-Slayer and all-round Twitter rockstar Milton Johnson, a.k.a. Lord Bromley.
Yes, hello. Greetings.
Well, Milton, let's not beat around the bush. Let's get straight to it. What's Gillard done wrong this week?
I've just got here. I typed in Julie Gillard, and I've just got news.com.au 13 minutes ago. It said, Julie Gillard offers $1 billion for workers. Really? More money from our pockets. Oh, that's very nice of her to take money from us and give to her favourite group.
And see, that's what depresses me, reading Tim Blair's blog. I just had no idea how much money they're... I mean, I knew, but seeing the figures of how much money they're wasting on absolute crap was really just so depressing. It would take a five-year-old half an hour to get the budget back into black, even with Julia's debt, if they just cut all the crap.
Well, if it would take a five-year-old that long, then it doesn't say much about Wayne Swan.
Yeah, I know.
Spending $1 billion to fund a pay rise awarded to Australia's social and community sector workers... And it says here that the boost will take the government's contribution close to $3 billion as part of the phasing period. So that's more wealth redistribution, which would be good because as the lower income earners get more money, that'll drive the price of goods up. Here's the interesting column. From December this year, 150,000 of Australia's lowest paid workers will receive pay rises of between 23 and 45%. As a result of Fair Work Australia decision in February, about 120,000 of the 150,000 are women. Oh, so it's Julie Gillard's feminist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be rough.
So 45%, that's just huge as a pay rise. What would that be? If you were earning $10 an hour, 45% means it suddenly goes up to $14.50 an hour. So that's interesting because, I mean, so what happens is the government, in order to fund that, well, they're already in debt, right? So they have to then sell bonds to China. China gives the, or the investors basically, whoever buys government bonds, right? So the people then give it to, the investors then give it to the government, and then the government has to pay interest, which is interest earned on the debt. So then there's an interest debt involved in that. And then what happens is, in addition to that, the $1 billion or $3 billion means that all these workers spending extra cash in the economy means that it drives the cost of living up even further. And so you've got that compounded with the with more government debt and more government interest. That eventually means that when Abbott gets in, he's going to have to, you know, keep the taxes the way they are, but to cut services or cut costs or something like that. It's just ridiculous.
Indeed, and Abbott is going to have such a hard time cleaning up Gillard's mess when he gets in.
I think that's what she wants to do. I think she wants to do a little, you know, a big turd that Tony Abbott has to clean up.
Well, that's the way it's looked ever since the government has become so rancid that it's clear they can't be re-elected. It's just looked to me like she's basically burning all her bridges because she knows she's only got one term. She might as well ram through as much as she can with this, Greens alliance that she has. Ram through as much as her socialist agenda as she can, then blame it on the Greens.
Well, I guess that's why she's doing a 45% pay rise for to try and bribe people into voting for Labor or to keep some of those votes happening. Just to basically complete the socialist agenda that was her whole reason to trade for going to university in the first place.
Yeah. And they've got a story here about Clive Palmer, who's trying to start a new website called Rage. Online website. And he says he wants to hire Fairfax journalists. Why the hell would he do that? I thought he was a conservative.
Yes, I know, he is. But I don't know if he's actually going to do that or whether he's just kind of... A lot of the time he just likes to... kind of take the piss out of lefties and just kind of stir the pot. So I don't know if he's actually going to do that. I mean, it doesn't cost much to buy a domain for a website, but it makes you wonder whether he's serious or not, because he talks about, you know, I'm going to stand for this seat against Wayne Swan, and I think he's just very provocative. But yeah. I don't know.
Sound that provocative. I don't know why you would say something like that to provoke.
Well, because Gina Reinhart tried to buy Fairfax, remember, and all these... the lefties basically wouldn't let her. They didn't want to give her editorial control, and they said, "Well, we're going to keep writing the stuff that we like, and bugger you, you can buy our paper if you like." But then she sold all her shares.
She sold them all now.
Oh, I don't know about him, sorry. She sold some shares. And then I guess it's in that context that Clive Palmer then gets up and says, all right, well, all the Fairfax journalists that are sacked, you know, you're going to have me as your boss. So that's conflicted because they were talking about they didn't want Gina Rinehart as the boss buggering up Fairfax. And you've got Clive Palmer getting in there saying, well, all you Fairfax journos that are sacked, well, you're going to work for me now. So that's provocative, I think.
I don't know why Rinehart just didn't buy, like, as much of Fairfax as she could. Like, she's got the money, and someone added it up, they would have said, like, she's worth, like, $25 billion or something. It would have cost her just over $1 billion, I think, to buy the whole of Fairfax.
Including the radio station.
A whole lot, yeah. I wish she had bought the whole thing, then it could have become, like, a conservative media empire.
That'd be funny. Then there'd just be the ABC, which, obviously, you know, is a taxpayer-funded, and they can't be too biased. I mean, they could be pretty bloody biased, but, you know, they've still got this kind of semblance of fulfilling their charter. Imagine if they didn't have that. Well, what they should do is that if the lefties believe in their own ideas, and then, you know, there's a marketplace of ideas out there, if they believe that there's enough interest in for people to subscribe to such opinions, then they should you know, have a media outlet of their own.
Yes.
I mean, obviously they've got the Fairfax and they're not doing too well, so obviously people don't really want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
I know that, I'll tell you what, I've got to confess one thing. News.com.au it has become very tabloid, and when I'm looking at it at work, it doesn't really give you much information. I mean, it's good for a bit of entertainment, but if you want politics, because the Australian's hidden behind a paywall these days, I actually find myself going to sydneymorningherald.com.au, smh.com.au.
Yeah, I'm the same. I go to that and I go to The Age sometimes. And I know The Age website is definitely not as bad as The Age newspaper used to be a few years ago, but having said that, I think it was Tim Blair or somebody actually compared the online headlines compared to the print headlines on The Age, and they found that the print headlines were far more biased than the online headlines.
That's interesting. Yeah.
There was one headline that was like, it had something like, bitter, twisted and racist, a profile of Abbott or something, and that was the headline.
Oh, what?
It was something along those lines. It wasn't exactly that, but that was the paper headline, and then the online headline was just something like, it was just something far more neutral than that anyway.
Reflections on Abbott.
Yeah, something like that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But I think even, I mean, I think the Sydney Morning Herald's a better paper than the Age.
It probably is, yeah.
It's more objective.
And it's a lot better than news.com.au. I mean, for the last 5 years, that's been all cats stuck up trees and, you know, people getting their genitals stuck in equipment and stuff like that.
Funny, it's on video shows on newspaper.
Pretty much,
Renegades.
Now, Milton, you've been locking horns with alleged journalist Jill Singer this week on Twitter. Tell us about that.
This started because Jill Singer's friends said, "Oh, there's always a chance." I kind of was a bit provocative. I said, "You do realise that Abbott will probably win the next election and become PM. What's Labor doing about it?" This bird goes, "Always the chance Libs could win, but won't be with Abbott leading." always a chance Libs could win. I said, "I'd hate to be at Crown Casino with you." I said, "No need to be so hostile." Because I looked at her profile. I said, "No need to be so hostile. I too love organic food and tea." And then I said, "How was today tonight anyway? You put in a good effort, but after you collapsed, the show was never the same." She goes, "You're right. Today tonight was never the same after my collapse. I wear it with pride."
That's a whole lot of her career.
I know, that's right, exactly. Anyway, where is it? Then I said, "I remember that 1994 promo ad. What a lady, what a night. Must have been pretty embarrassing." She goes, "Embarrassing to be widely promoted on TV. You wish. How it still rankles with you. Ha ha ha." I said, "Doesn't bother me. Good luck to you. Just a bit cheesy, that's all." And she goes, and she says, "Oh, how creepy when right-wing loons bring up the soundtrack to your TV promos circa 1996. I just left it at that. But I thought it was, that was a very low blow. I'm like, how's your 1994 promo, Ed? Hey, that was pretty awesome."
I know. But I love it how, like, she's trying to pretend like, "Oh, I'm the journalist here. I'm the serious Walker award-winning journalist." And she's spending time arguing with you. It's like, she can't be that important.
Not only that, but when I bring up a topic about how Abbott, Abbott will definitely lead the Liberals to the next election, she goes on about some politically correct jokes that I've told, like completely irrelevant.
Like that's supposed to undermine your credibility as a statistician.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's just a complete ad hominem. She argues with her loins, not with her brain. She's teaching journalism to other people.
Yes, it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know, maybe she has some credibility as an investigative journalist, but if her opinion columns in the Herald Sun are anything to go by, nobody that unreasonable has any business working as a journalist, let alone lecturing as one.
I mean, I could be objective if that was what the job required, right? I mean, I'm obviously biased because I enjoy it, but, you know, if I had to be, I could be more objective. In fact, I don't know, I would argue that even on Twitter, I'm probably more objective than she is.
Well, when she says ridiculous things like she did on New Year's Day, she said basically SBS is a racist white supremacist organisation just because it happened to show the Austrian New Year's Day concert, then I would argue you probably are more objective than her.
Well, yeah, she just got that kind of reflexive... Well, you know, they talk about right-wing reactionary. She's a left-wing reactionary.
She is. And can you imagine if there was a conservative who was as unobjective and emotional as she is? They wouldn't even get a look in on the trashiest tabloid. It's just ridiculous how different the standards are for left-wingers.
You know, the other thing is I did have a more civilised argument with a Kevin Rudd supporter. They had a tweet.
You found one?
Yeah, well, it was his whole account was set up to promote Kevin Rudd. And
oh, definitely a staffer.
Well, he even admitted, look, you would admit that, you know, Tony Abbott certainly seems more centred, community-focused, etc., than Julia Gillard. He even admitted, yeah, I think that's definitely true. So it was a reasonable thing, and I kind of... So that was all right, and I followed him on Twitter because, I mean, some of the left-wingers are quite civil, and you can argue with them, and, you know, they're not going to talk about some politically incorrect joke that you told last week or something, to, you know, completely irrelevant nonsense like that. But, yeah, I mean, as I say, I like discussion, I enjoy discussion, but I think that, I mean... Jill Singer, how did she get a big break?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure she started at the ABC, and it's not really that unusual to have people as extreme and emotional as her, given a taxpayer-funded leg up by the national broadcaster. I mean, if the ABC is prepared to support people like that Marika Hardy or whatever her name is, that creature, Jill Singer pretty much looks reasonable in comparison.
Oh, yeah, Mariyuki, what did you say that is?
Did you hear some of the stuff that she wrote on the Drum website?
Yes, I did, actually. She's a disgrace.
Yeah.
You know what? She should be writing for student university newspapers, you know, in Fitzroy or something, not on a national broadcaster.
Because honestly, she seriously does make Jill Singer look like a journalist.
Well, yes. I mean, what? Yeah, she probably is a bit more unreasonable than Jill Singer.
But I guess she doesn't actually have the pretension of being a journalist. She's just like a figure.
Yeah, but the thing is, all right, so she's out there saying, this is my opinion. Why don't I get a spot on the national broadcaster saying, oh, here's my opinion? I mean... I could do the same thing.
Yes, and I'm actually just looking up some of her inspired prose now, and it seriously is just like reading the thoughts of a 12-year-old child. It's like the sort of argument you see in the comments on a Justin Bieber video on YouTube. I mean, that's really where she should be posting her opinions.
Well, didn't she write once that I hope Tony Abbott's cock falls off?
Yeah, I mean, just imagine if a conservative of the ABC, I mean, if such a thing existed, imagine if they wrote something equivalent to that about Julia Gillard.
Exactly. Many people write that kind of stuff on YouTube and don't get subsidised by the government for doing so.
And here's an extract from a transcript of some video she did, by the looks of it. She was at some outdoor concert, and she confronts a couple of boys who are wearing the Australian flag, and she says, "Boy, oh boy, the amount of idiotic sunburned children draping themselves in flags with no real reason as to why they were making such a provocative statement. I grew increasingly cross, even without alcohol coursing through my veins and turning me into the kind of screeching harpy best left alone in the corner of a pub, dry-humping the pinball machine." Then she says to one of the kids, "Nice flag, F-head. Moron child, whatever. Me, why are you even wearing that? Do you have any idea what you're doing? Moron child, Aussie pride, man. Me, go and die."
Oh, so they're the provocative ones, are they? The provocative ones are people who are wearing their own flag in their own country, not the bitch who you know, who shouts out profanities. And she thinks she's being morally superior by doing that.
And I can understand that there are a few people like her out there who hold these extreme views. But, I mean, why are her superiors publishing this trash? I mean, for example, why is Jonathan Green, the editor of The Drum, prepared to indulge her with this offensive crap? It's not as if Jonathan Green is some 20-something recent university graduate. I mean, he is actually reasonably experienced as a journalist. And, I mean, if it were up to me, if I were put in charge of a conservative equivalent publication, there's no way I would let somebody write something of that standard to represent the conservative position, because it just makes us look bad.
Well, of course not. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, you can say all this stuff about, you know, Julia Gillard, but if I was to say, I mean, put it this way, right? It's one thing to say stuff at the pub, right? But if you're actually writing for a publication, you're supposed to at least, I don't know. I mean, I thought the idea was if you're actually sitting down to write a piece, you're supposed to be trying to convince people in a rational way that your argument is correct. And because you're supposed to be appealing to other adults who can read. And so I guess, you know, just shouting out profanities or just, sloganeering or whatever it is, or just behaving like an immature five-year-old, I would think would defeat the whole purpose of having such a publication in the first place. I wouldn't get some bloke from the pub with very strong opinions and then say, all right, well, you're going to write for our national newspaper.
Why doesn't the ABC give your Uncle Ted a column at The Drum?
Yes! Yes, well, he would be. I mean, I wouldn't employ him as a journalist even, but still, I mean, if the ABC are in the business of opinion writing, and obviously they've got no standards, and they're happy to have something like that, then, in fact, at least he would have the added advantage of actually being funny.
I would love to see your uncle's head refer to Julia Gillard as a halfback flanker in print.
Oh, this son. Julia Gillard, he's like, what are we going to do about that bitch? We're going to get rid of her. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be any less offensive than the stuff Mary Eakes wrote about Tony Abbott.
No, not at all. In fact, your Uncle Ted's probably a beacon of calmness and intellectualism compared to Mary Eakes. See that article I tweeted? It was an Age article where they discussed Abbott's claim that Julia Gillard's a liar. It was an absolute joke. What it was basically saying was some Age wanker was totally pulling apart Abbott's claim that Gillard lied about the carbon tax. And he was like, well, actually, there was an implicit condition placed upon that blah, 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 blah. And then he actually goes on to compare Abbott's criticising of that to Nazi techniques.
Oh, that was on Andrew Bolt's article, but I just didn't click because I just thought,
yeah,
oh, well,
I could imagine it would.
He pulled out the Nazi card.
It's ridiculous. It's like Gillard just told a bald-faced lie. He's putting all these conditions on it and making up all this stuff that really wasn't in it just to prove that it wasn't a lie. Abbott points out that she lied. He calls him a liar for saying that.
What a bunch of mental gymnastics. The contortions, the mental contortions that some of these left-wingers will go to defend their bogan princess, who is a dirty, dirty fat liar, who is a sociopath who will do anything to cling to power, and then to compare the person who is opposing such dishonesty to Adolf Hitler. It's deranged behaviour. These Labourites are so ashamed that it's almost like the mental contortions that they try to convince themselves affect them and start making them insane.
Pretty much. And if you were prepared to put all those conditions on what Gillard said and say, oh, there was an implicit condition on there and blah, 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 and this is what she actually meant and all that, you could say that about anything anybody ever said in the entire history of the world and say that it wasn't a lie if you're putting those kind of conditions on it. But, I mean, why the hell doesn't Abbott get the benefit of the doubt?
Julia Gillard could just lie her big fat ass off, and then when you know, Tony Abbott says, I think, oh, he's a Nazi. I mean, what kind of childish argument is that?
And a liar. Oh, but of course, at the end, he's at pains of saying, of course, I'm not saying that Abbott's a Nazi. I've just spent the best part of an article saying that he uses their techniques, but of course, I'm not saying he's a Nazi. That'd be unfair.
Yeah, that's very disingenuous, isn't it?
Yeah. And what the hell has Gillard done deserve the benefit of the doubt when it comes to honesty?
I know, but every person that's dealt with Julia Gillard, whether it be Kevin Rudd, Andrew Wilkie, anyone who's ever crossed paths with her can attest to how dishonest and two-faced she is. And this journo, Julia Gillard's perfidy is so obvious that the only way a journalist can try to defend her is to apply a different set of standards to an opposition politician and label him a Nazi.
Yes, I know, exactly.
The only way this guy can ever hope to make Julia Gillard look good is to put up this evil straw man.
I know, and Huffy's arguments were like, oh, but John Howard did it too. But then it's just like, well, John Howard was an idiot. That doesn't excuse Gillard. Why the hell does Gillard have the different standard, you know?
Oh, exactly. I mean, Why couldn't you just be consistent and say, well, I have these set of principles. Under these set of principles, both Gillard and John Howard were wrong, and that's that. Why say, well, my set of standards changes when the politician wears a Labour Party badge, and it's different when they wear a Liberal Party badge. I mean, it's like going, footy team.
That's it. It's just like supporting a team, and one wonders what actually motivates this, considering that it can't be a matter of ideology, because it's not like the Labour Party actually stands for anything.
Mm. Well, what's his name? Asher Brainless.
One of your Twitter opponents.
He's just so one-eyed, it's not funny. I mean, I don't know if he does it for a joke or whether he's paid by Gillard's staff members or
he
what.
He might be paid by the Liberal Party to make, like, Labour supporters look bad.
I could easily do that. In fact, what I could do is I could just go on a train or something and go, you got any money? And then go, I like Julia Gillard. She's a wonderful person. Go to Labour.
She's given me lots of money.
Yeah, she gives me so much of your money. I love Julia Gillard.
Well, didn't you already have a troll tweeting thing?
Oh, yeah, I did. I tried to argue with myself and see if it would get any traction, but it didn't.
Do someone who's like, a feminist Labour Party supporter or feminist Green supporter.
Mm, yeah.
Tweet Renegades.
Now, Milton, since this is our first show, I just thought it would be good if we could just clarify exactly where we stand on a few things and go into a bit of detail about where we differ from other conservatives, particularly the neocons, because I've noticed that a lot of liberal and conservative commentators seem to fall into a certain trap that makes them feel that they have to hold certain opinions. They owe it to themselves as a conservative or as a liberal to hold certain opinions, even when those opinions aren't actually inherently liberal or conservative. Now, I'll give you some examples of this. The first example would be the Israel and Palestine debate. And more broadly, you could talk about Israel and US versus the Muslim countries. But we'll talk about the Israel and Palestine debate. Now, neither side in this is inherently conservative, and neither side is inherently liberal. Yet you always seem to see that the conservatives fall on the Jewish side and the liberals fall on the Palestinian side.
But yeah, I mean, they follow the conservative template sometimes, and that's the thing. I think Tim Blair does it and Andrew Bolt does it, certainly.
Right, the conservative template or the liberal template. And unfortunately, that's a trap that lots of people fall into. And that happens when you ask yourself not what are the facts and what is the truth in this matter, but what are other conservatives like me thinking about this, or what are other liberals like me thinking about this? And regarding this debate, I mean, I'm not a Jew and I'm not a Palestinian, and all I've ever claimed to be was a conservative. And until one side or the other shows themselves to be decisively more conservative than the other, then I'm just going to stay the heck out of it. And I wish that other commentators would do the same thing.
Well, that's exactly what I think. And in fact, my position had always been one of neutrality. If you're here to promote conservative values, why would you have that as kind of your why would you value that? Why would you have that as your something that you want to promote? I mean, would I promote the South Sudanese above the North Sudanese? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really interest me. I'm interested in Australia. Like when someone on Twitter accused me, well, I said, you know, you're anti-Israel or something, I said, well, no, not really. I'm pro-Australia. That's what I am. I don't take sides in this whole thing. It interests me from a point of view of I'm interested in politics and what's going on. But, you know, what interests me most is Australia. I'm not one of those you know, conservatives who feels that they have some, especially some of those Jewish Australians who feel that they have some dual identity to Australia and Israel. Well, in practice, it's probably more of an identity to Israel than it is to Australia.
And, of course, there are Arabs and Palestinians that do exactly the same thing.
Equally so, the Arabs. I mean, that's why I don't go around saying I love Arabs as well. I mean, I'm Australian. I want Australia to do well out of this, you know.
And of course, it's not in the nature of mainstream news to offer nuanced debate on any issue, so they boil it down to basically thumbs up or thumbs down. There's no shades of grey in this. And another example of this has been in the reporting of Julian Assange. Now, Assange is not somebody that I would ever like to align myself with because he seems to be associated with the left wing of politics and does come across as having some sociopathic tendencies. So he's not somebody that I would ever give outright support to, but that doesn't mean that you have to give the unequivocal thumbs down to everything that WikiLeaks has done. And a lot of conservative commentators seem to do that. It does seem a bit inconsistent when you get commentators like Andrew Bolt, who didn't mind leakers when it was the Climategate emails, and didn't even seem to mind Kevin Rudd leaking against the Labour Party during the last election. Yet he seems to have a real problem with WikiLeaks, even though the two main targets that we heard about in the Australian media were the Rudd government and the Obama government, neither of which Bolt supports anyway. So it may be because of Assange's left-wing leanings, or it may be because WikiLeaks have released information about governments that Bolt feels uncomfortable with. And then, of course, there's the old national security excuse, which overlooks the fact that governments don't have an absolute right to total secrecy. I mean, certainly there are things that legitimately need to be kept secret for security reasons, but that doesn't mean that, the government has a complete right to keep anything it does secret. I mean, that's just asking for trouble. And citizens taking it upon themselves to decide what is safe to release and what isn't, that's potentially dangerous territory. So there's a legitimate criticism there. But let's actually keep the criticisms legitimate, shall we?
Mm. I mean, I'm what people would describe as, you know, according to my tweets, as being pro-Assange. But in reality, I'm anti-government handing over its citizens to the clutches of the NWO and doing what they like with them.
Well, that's right. That's a principle worth defending. And look, to be honest, I mean, I don't even know what the full story is with this whole thing. I mean, it might even be some kind of experiment or front or whatever it is. It may be that we're not getting the full story about exactly what this whole thing's about. But let's just assume for argument's sake that it's totally genuine. I mean, if this guy is blowing the whistle on corrupt things that Western governments are doing, then surely that's a good thing. I mean, regardless of his own political opinions. And they try to frame the debate as being, if you're pro-Assange, you're a traitor, you're anti-patriotic or whatever it is. But I mean, the governments, the things that the Western governments are doing that Assange has been releasing are the complete opposite of patriotic. If you really are a patriot, you'd look at the stuff that Assange has released and you'd say, I'm outraged by the stuff that my government's doing to my country.
Yeah, well, that's right. But the whole mentality of the government equals the state, and if you're anti-government, you're anti-patriot kind of thing, well, that's totalitarian. Ridiculous. A true patriot should always hold the government, or should always keep eyes on the government.
Yeah, well, the government definitely doesn't equal the country. I mean, the government is really just the custodian of the country. The country itself is everything that country encompasses, including its history, its people, and its culture.
Oh yeah, and in fact, if the world thought that Americans were simply just the American government, then no one would like them at all. they'd be hated.
Right across the globe, this is the Tweed Renegades with Milton Johnson and Plato Sandilands.
Well, that was a very pretentious promo. That was obviously from when we were originally aiming the show at overseas radio. But, I mean, there could be people listening to us from overseas. If there are, we'd like to hear from you. Send us your comments. You can agree with us. You can disagree with us. It's preferable if your comment's intelligent, but on the other hand, you're welcome to make a dick out of yourself too. We'll probably just take the piss out of you next week. I'm not sure if the email's set up yet, but you could try emailing mail@tweedrenegades.com, or you could tweet directly to Milton, and the address for that is...
Twitter address is @LordBrumley.
Do get in contact. Thanks for listening. From Plato Sandilands and Milton Johnson, it's
good. Thank you very much. All right.